table, we come across the Lord's servants who have been given that message from God. And they have a message from God to deliver. You would read in the Bible, "Thus saith the Lord." And how many times the Lord's servants have come with that message and they're able to state that it's a message from God. You think of Moses whenever he came before Pharaoh. He was able to say before Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord, I have a message from God unto thee." You think also of Joshua when he stood before all Israel. As he stood to speak to the camp of Israel, he was able to say, "Thus saith the Lord," a man with a message from God. Elijah, the prophet and servant of the Lord, was also to use that expression, "Thus saith the Lord." Men who were faithful in declaring God's message. And God today has been pleased in His mercy to give to us His Word. And when we come to the preaching of God's Word, we come not to put forth as something of our own notion or our own imagination. It's not some ideas that we have as the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. No, we come to simply preach the Word that God has given to us. And I can stand tonight with God's Word in my hand and I can use the words of our text. "I have a message from God unto thee." We stand with the authority of God's precious Word. "Thus saith the Lord." You know, many times today, there are those who would stand in pulpits and they would claim to be preachers of the Word. And yet we would have to say, sadly, there was no message. Sometimes we have to attend funerals in other churches and listen to different men. And you would perhaps ask the question, "Well, how did it go? How did they preach?" And how often has it been said to us, "They had no message. They had no message." It's a sad indictment against them. God has given to us His Word. God has given to us the gospel of redeeming grace, and there is that responsibility to publish and to preach the Word of God. To preach God's Word, to preach the whole counsel of God. There are some today and they want to gather congregations just to tell them little stories that will tickle the ears. And it'd be nice to listen to those little stories, but how we need to come back to the preaching of the Word of God. As the Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy, he said, "Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." And what is needed today across our land and nation is faithful preachers of God's Word. The Apostle Paul, whenever he was speaking to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20 and the verse 27, he was able to say to them, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I have not shunned. The Apostle Paul had not shied away from it, even though it cost him much personally. The Apostle Paul had to suffer much hardship because of the stand that he took for the Lord, but he could say unashamedly, "I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." A man who stood four square for the Lord. You think of God's Word this evening, the many great truths that we have through the Bible, many wonderful doctrines that bring great delight to our hearts when we meditate upon them. And yet today, we can come across preaching where those truths are just simply ignored. In fact, you can come across preaching today where sin is not mentioned. Sin is not condemned. Preaching where there'd be no mention of judgment, there'd be no mention of hell, of the consequences of sin. No challenge to repent of that sin or of the need of personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The necessity of the new birth is not set forth. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. And William Booth in his day warned. And he warned of a day that would come when he said there would be preaching without the Holy Spirit. There would be Christianity without Christ. There would be forgiveness without repentance. There would be salvation without regeneration. There would be heaven without hell. You know, it seems in our day that that prophetic word from William Booth has been fulfilled. Seems that we have reached that day. That day has come whenever the message of God's book has been whittled away. And we have days when there's preaching without the Holy Spirit of God. We have days when there's Christianity preached without Christ and forgiveness without repentance. Salvation without regeneration. And heaven without hell. You see, as God's people, the Lord has entrusted us with this message. The Lord has given to us His precious word. What a privilege it is tonight to have God's word before us in our own language. Our houses are coming down with Bibles. We have God's word, but that brings with it a tremendous responsibility. We would be ambassadors for the Lord. We would seek to publish and to proclaim and to spread the word that God has given to us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And oh, that we might obey the great commission that the Lord has given to us. Go ye. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And as we seek today in our church and denomination to publish, to proclaim, and to spread the good news of the gospel, may the trumpet give forth that sound that is clear and loud. May it reach the hearts of men and women. Because we have a message that the world needs to hear. Ehud, in our text of Scripture, he said, I have a message from God unto thee. A message from God unto thee. And I want us to look at that message just a little bit this evening. We'll make a number of observations upon it. Firstly, it was a powerful message. A powerful message. I have a message from God. That's what made it powerful. It was a divine message. It was a message that the Lord had given. A message from God to Ehud that he had to carry out and he had to deliver. Here was a man who was raised up by God as a judge and as a deliverer for God's people. Sadly, Israel had gone into apostasy. They had turned away from the Lord. They had sinned grievously before the Lord. Look there in Judges chapter 3 and the verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Because they had turned away from the Lord and they had done this evil before the Lord, they permitted Eglon, the king of Moab, to come against Israel. In fact, Eglon's hand was strengthened and he was able to come by way of chastisement against the people of God. And God's people knew that time of oppression and it came because of their sin. And when they went through that period of suffering, of chastisement, of oppression, they were then brought at length to cry to God, that God would have mercy upon them. And God was to answer that cry. And the Lord raised up that deliverer by the name of Ehud. That deliverer would have a message from God. We have learned from our Bible reading that it was not so much a message of words, more so it was a message of actions, but nevertheless, the principle there is clear. Here was a man who had a message from God. The Lord had entrusted his servant with that message. And Ehud, as the Lord's messenger, had to execute and carry out that message. It was a message of judgment. Judgment against the king of Moab and against the Moabites, and thereby God's people would be delivered. And Ehud faithfully carried out that message. You know, whenever we think of that example of faithfulness, it is a challenge to our hearts that God has given to us his word, his inspired word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And thereby, when we have that word before us, we need to deliver that message. It's a divine message. It's a powerful message. Even though it's a difficult message at times to deliver, and that was the case here with this man Ehud, he had to go in and face the king of Moab. And he had to face the king with this most difficult of tasks. And sometimes when we come with the message of the gospel, it may not be a welcome message, it may not be a popular message, it may not be easy to deliver, especially when it's a message that condemns sin. And it's a message that speaks about judgment against sin. And really the message of the gospel is a message whereby the Lord has promised he will punish sin. The wages of sin is death. That is eternal death and hell. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And the gospel would set forth that God will judge sin, that sin has its consequences, and that this evening cannot be overlooked. Therefore, for those who are unconverted, who would still sit in their natural estate, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, outside of the family of God, you sit in great danger tonight. You ever think of how God's word describes the unconverted? So many different expressions used in God's word to try and impress upon our hearts and minds the position that they're in. They're described as being lost. Lost. You think of when Paul spoke to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, "And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." That word lost brings with it a terrible thought of one who's lost forever. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. If you were to look over with me to the New Testament, to John chapter 3, and just looking in this one chapter, and of course it's a very familiar chapter, but yet there are different descriptions here given of those who were unconverted. In John chapter 3, perhaps that greatest known verse of all of the Bible, "For God so loved the world," verse 16, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Those who were not saved, those who were lost, those who are perishing. It's a fearful thought of one who would perish. If you look a little bit further, just down this chapter to the verse 18, John 3 and the verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." There's another word used to describe the unconverted. They're condemned. And you see the picture that emerges when you begin to consider those words: lost, perishing, condemned. It ought to challenge God's people. Look right to the very end of John chapter 3, to the verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abideth on him. They're lost. They're perishing. They're condemned. They're under the wrath of Almighty God. And they're in such a position tonight that they're in danger of that wrath bursting upon their heads and being cast into outer darkness and into that place called hell. You see the picture that God's word paints of the unconverted soul. Paul would say they're dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. They're blind. They're without God. They're without hope in this world. Ah, but we have a message. What a message. A powerful message. That the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and we're able to come to the unconverted soul and bring to them this powerful message and point them to the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered in agony and in blood. And as He poured out His blood unto death, and He paid the price of our redemption, we have a powerful message that the Lord Jesus has borne our sins in His own body upon the tree. He has borne the punishment of our sins. The sinner tonight, deserving of hell, can be forgiven. I say that's a powerful message. It's a wonderful message of hope to the unconverted soul. I have a message from God unto thee. Know that the Lord would bless that message to every heart. I want us to notice secondly, not only is this a powerful message, but it's a personal message. You think of the words of Ehud, the judge of Israel, as he delivers this message. He says, I have a message from God unto thee. Unto thee. And you must see that this was a personal message to the king of Moab, Eglon. Here was a man who was in a very strong and powerful position. He was the king of the Moabites, a heathen, ungodly king. There are different characteristics given about this particular man. If you look in Judges 3 in the verse 17, it says, and he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And that description there is just given to help us to picture a man who had overindulged the flesh. One who was a carnal, fleshly man. And Ehud comes. He comes with others accompanying him, and he's bringing a present. A present from Israel. Very strange and interesting story here in the book of Judges. But they come with that present, and that's something that would have appealed to this fleshly, worldly king. The thought that he was getting a present here from Israel. And therefore his mind is immediately drawn to material things. And he's actually here in his summer parlor. If you look there at verse 20, it says, and Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. Here's a man, you see, who, with all of the power and luxuries that he had at his disposal, he had this summer parlor where he was able to go and indulge himself with all that the world could offer to him. That was there just for him alone. And Ehud has given him now the impression that he hasn't finished with him. He has something further, something more secret and private that he wants to deliberate with him. And so here's the old carnal king thinking that there's something greater in store. And he asks all of the others to leave. And there's just Ehud and the king of Moab. And they're face to face. And Ehud says, I have a message from God unto thee. You see, it was a personal message for this man. What a message it was. It was a message whereby it was to be the end of Eglon's life. He was to be judged because of his sin, and Israel was to be delivered. You know, that reminds us there of the personal message, the face-to-face message that the Lord brings to the sinner in his word. Those who could be taken up with all that this world has to offer, just like Eglon, the king of Moab, and the mind is continually there upon the material and the temporal things of this old world, and there's no thought for God and for the gospel. But even tonight, the Lord is able to speak personally to hearts. And I can say, I have a message from God unto thee. It's a personal message. A message that comes to the individual. And oh, there can be that message that is a final message as it was here. You could think as well, I'm sure, of Luke chapter 12. And there was that rich farmer. And there was a message from God to him. A man who was taken up with the prosperity and the wealth that had come his way in this world. The man who thought that he could eat, drink, and take his ease and say to his soul, Soul, thou hast many days yet laid up for thee. And the Lord said, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Message that was personal from the Lord. And dear unconverted soul, you need to hear that personal word from the Lord to your heart. You need to hear of the love of God in Christ Jesus, a message that brings conviction of sin, a message that will convince you tonight of your need to repent and to put your faith and trust in the only Savior of men. And thank God tonight the Lord still speaks personally, and He speaks to us through His Word. God speaks through His Word to souls. We can think of times in the past whenever God spoke personally to individuals. You remember David. And David had sinned grievously against the Lord with Bathsheba. And at length the Lord was to send a messenger to David. It was Nathan who came to him. The word Nathan means sent. The name Nathan means sent. Here was a man who was sent with a message for David. And the message was a personal one. He said to David, Thou art the man. Thou art the man. And that message smote the heart of the sweet psalmist of Israel. You'll remember, I'm sure, in Daniel chapter 5, you read of Belshazzar and of the feast there and the reveling that was taking place. And there was the writing that appeared. The handwriting upon the wall, there was a message from God. Daniel 5 and the verse 25, and this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And the interpretation was given of the handwriting on the wall. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. There was a personal message from the Lord to Belshazzar. Thou wert weighed in the balances and found wanting. You think of others as well who received that personal message. We'll not turn to it tonight, but Acts chapter 24, the Apostle Paul reasoned with Felix, didn't they? And he spoke to Felix, he reasoned with him of righteousness, of temperance, and of judgment to come. And we read the words, Felix trembled. Personal message from the Lord through the Apostle Paul. Felix trembled. A few chapters on, chapter 26, Paul spoke personally to King Agrippa. And as he spoke to King Agrippa, and he preached the gospel to him, and he spoke about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, and the response of King Agrippa, he said, "Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian." A personal word to the heart of King Agrippa. You could think of many others as well, where a personal message was brought to them. You could go right back to the very beginning, whenever Adam and Eve fell into sin, and God came looking for Adam. And he called out personally, and he said, "Adam, where art thou?" Personal word. You think as well of the multitude that surrounded the Lord. They were all pressing in upon the Lord, and the Lord turned to his disciples and he said, "Who touched me?" There was one woman, and the Lord knew he was able in the whole multitude to single her out and to speak personally to her heart. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Personal word from the Lord to Nicodemus. Do you remember? And we've looked at it already, some of those words in John chapter 3. And the Lord was saying to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Personal word from the Lord. A word that's able to come with power and to challenge the hearts of individuals to bring them under that conviction of sin. Let me ask you tonight, have you known that personal word from the Lord? Still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God, speaking silently and powerfully within hearts through God's precious word. It's a powerful word. It's a personal word. Can I say thirdly, it's a pointed message. Oh, the message that came here was literally a pointed message. In our passage this evening, Judges chapter 3, you could look there at the 16th verse. And it says, "But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh." Here's the Lord's servant, here's Ehud, the deliverer, the judge of Israel, and he makes a dagger. And it's a double-edged dagger. The length of it is given. It's a cubit. That's about 18 inches long. So we would look at it really, if we saw it, we would think of it more as a sword than a dagger. And Ehud has it. And it's a pointed message for Eglon. Doesn't it remind us of God's word? Paul was writing to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 12. He said that God's word is quick and powerful and sharper. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharpness of God's word. In Revelation 19 and the verse 15, it says there of the Lord, that description that's given, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword." Out of his mouth. The word of the Lord is that sharp sword. And if there's an unconverted soul in our meeting tonight, it is our prayerful desire that you would feel the sharpness of God's word. And God uses that word to pierce in to even the hardest of hearts. God's word is so powerful that it is able to penetrate into hardened hearts. Hearts that have been obstinate. Hearts that have been rebellious. Hearts that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word is that dagger or that sword, the sword of the Spirit that is able to pierce in. You know, this dagger was literally put into the belly of Eglon. Look there at verses 21 and 22. "And Ehud put forth his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out." And it's representative here of God judging sin. And as the dagger goes in, the filth and the dirt comes out. And whenever God's word is applied, God's word is that judgment against sin. God's word is that judgment that's able to come and to expose and to reveal the filth and the mire of sin. All of those sinful passions within can be judged according to the word of God. And yet God's word can be seen to have that cleansing effect too against the sins of the flesh. All of the dirt and the filth of the flesh, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. God's word can give the victory, you see, the victory over the flesh and the filth of this old world. God's word is that sanctifying, that purifying effect, but it is God's word that will be used to judge sin. And it is through the work of Ehud here, and that two-edged dagger, that God's people would know deliverance. Just look down the chapter for the sake of time to verses 29 and 30. It says, "And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. Here's Ehud, that judge, that deliverer. He's been able to apply the dagger. And through the death of Eglon, Israel was able to come and subdue Moab. And they knew deliverance. And Ehud, as that judge and deliverer of God's people, becomes for us a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. A type of the Lord our Savior. Because it is through the Lord Jesus Christ and His great work that He has purchased our deliverance as He hung upon the cross of Calvary and there sin was judged. There the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Word, He had that victory over sin, and there is deliverance for the people of God on the grounds of the Savior's precious blood. They can escape the consequences and the judgment of hell. Do you hear the message? I have a message from God unto thee. Know that the Lord would bless the message, that you might hear the voice of God to your heart, and we would say with the words of the apostle in Hebrews, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. The Lord speaks to you. The Lord convicts you of your sin. Let me tell you, thank God for that. God is still dealing with you. God is still speaking to you. God is still challenging you. What a terrible thing it would be if unconverted souls could sit under the sound of God's word and feel nothing, and know nothing of God's convicting power. If the Spirit of God is striving with you, resist not the Spirit tonight. But know this, God has said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." Thank God for the promptings of God the Holy Spirit, convicting men and women, young people and boys and girls of sin. Know that we would hear and we would heed the message of the gospel tonight. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. I have a message from God unto thee. May God bless His word to every heart.